Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
You ladies and gentlemen, that was good. That's good stuff right there. I have been blessed. We're still looking at Isaac the middleman, and I'm excited. This is one of those stories that I haven't spent a ton of time looking at the life of Isaac, but there's a lot in there. Few verses, but there's a lot of meat in there if you get in there and dig a little bit. So I'm learning a lot as I look at the scripture. So today we're going to read chapter 21 of Genesis 9 through 21. Then we're going to jump into our study today. Let me get over here. I might need to get out of Mark if I'm going to. Genesis 21, beginning in verse number 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he took bread and a bottle of water, and he gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat herself down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called unto Hagar out of heaven, and he said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Imagine that. Saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, and dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Father, we ask your blessings on the reading of your word, and as we expound on your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit, God, will lead and guide us for the remainder of this service, that God, you'll take us where we need to go, and we'll look at the scriptures we need to look to. We'll comment and expound on the things that you want brought up today. We pray for your Holy Spirit to have his way in our hearts, in our lives. Put me to the side. Forgive me of my sins and my iniquities today, God, and use me as a vessel today to preach your word. Preach to me first, God, and preach to us the message that you have for us. I thank you, God, for just the spirit that's here today. I thank you, God, for the excitement that we see in the midst of troubling times. As Christians, we should be excited because we've got you, Lord. World may be in chaos, but we know you're still on the throne. And God, we praise you for that. Thank you for those that are joining us, however they're joining us today in person or where or whatever means. And God, we pray your blessings on the remainder of this day. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at these scriptures today and we continue that story of Isaac, we saw last week, we looked at the birth of Isaac and saw a lot of things that related to the birth of Jesus, a lot of common things. So in a way, he's somewhat of a little foreshadow, the story of the miracle birth and how God made that promise to be a blessing to all the nations. So we see all those things transpire. Now that the child is born, we got some issues. We got some problems here. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is I want to look at the one that's mocking. In Genesis 21 and verse number 9, it said, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, there are some that will say the word mocking in this instance, when you break it down in the Hebrew and you see what he's talking about here, it has a reflection of the same thing as the name Isaac means, which we found out last week was laughter or to laugh. And so some try to make light of it as if Ishmael is laughing with Isaac. But when we look over in the New Testament, we see in Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 29, here's what it says. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted, he didn't laugh with him, he persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So what do we see here? What do we find in this passage of Scripture? Here's what we find. We find a 14-year... Now listen, Ishmael's not a baby. He's not a little kid. He's a 14-year-old kid mocking and persecuting and bullying a little 2-year-old kid. That's what we got. That's the problem we got. That's the situation we have. So when we look at it in the reality of what it is, what does it bring to mind? I'll tell you what it brought to mind for me. The fact of bullying. Is bullying a real thing? Have you ever been bullied before? I'm going to say most people have been bullied at some point, whether it's on the playground at school, or whether it's in your home, or whether it's as you get older in the workplace. There are people that are not going to like you because of who you are. There are people that are not going to like things about you, regardless of what it may be. They're just not going to like you. And I'm not doing a message on bullying, but I want to bring a few thoughts out that as I think about bullying, I despise bullies, don't you? I despise bullies. Maybe some of you in the room, have you been a bully before? Maybe you've bullied some. Maybe I unintentionally have bullied somebody, didn't intend to. But if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that spot where we find ourselves trying to make ourselves superior to somebody else or even a group of people. To me, that's bullying. It's when we feel as though we're better than somebody else. So I tried to analyze a little bit about what bullying is all about. I've tried to put myself in the mindset of what's going on in this situation in Genesis. Why would he want to bully him? Why would he want to be cruel to him? Why would he want to persecute him? And it came down to where I understood the reason for the persecution is jealousy and envy. If you were to be able to sit down with most bullies, I'm going to say percentage-wise, this is pretty high. Most bullies are bullies because of their low self-esteem and the problems and issues they have in their own emotional life and in their home. Perhaps they're bullied at home and they feel the only satisfaction I can get is for me to bully somebody else. So a lot of bullies, in a way, we need to kind of not be proud of them or thankful for them, but we need to pray for them because of the situation that caused them to be in that. They may have more problems and they're envious of maybe the peace you have, they're envious of the home you have, they're envious of the family you have, they're envious of the character that you have. When we think about bullies, I always go to Joseph and his brothers. You want to see a group of bullies, that's exactly what they were. They were bullies. They were the older brothers. They were stronger. They could intimidate him. Joseph, the youngest of the lot. But yet because he found favor with his father, and his father gave him that coat of many colors and put him in a position to be kind of the foreman or in charge and helping make some decisions as far as the family goes, it wasn't that the father was saying, I didn't love my other sons less than I love Joseph, as much as he's the right man for the job because he's got the head for the job. He knows what's going on and he's better suited for that. And so his brothers got so angry and upset with that they began persecuting him. They were literally bullies. So what are we trying to say in this first statement of the mocking of Ishmael over Isaac? I'll tell you what we're coming up with. We're coming up with the fact that the world is filled with bullies, and you're going to have bullies in your own life. Maybe you've got them right now. Or maybe you got somebody that'll bring you a cup of water when you're choking on pollen and whatever. I don't think it's COVID. I shouldn't have said that. We're live streaming, baby. I'm keeping my distance. Don't bully me on the internet now. But we're in a world that is filled with people that are jealous and envious. And you know, if you look at a Christian who is really living that life of a Christian, do you have to have a whole lot to be content? You don't really have to have nothing, do you? You got these people who have got everything. They look at your life and they say, how can you have nothing and be at peace? How can you be content when you don't have the fancy cars and the home and all the stuff and all the toys and things that I've got? I'm miserable over here, and I got all this stuff. How can you be that way? So it could cause someone with all of that wealth and all that stuff, you would think, why in the world would that person want to bully me? Why would they want to persecute me? Why would they be angry toward me? Because you've got something they don't have. Amen. You got something eternal. If you're a Christian, you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ forever. Not for a period of time, but forever. And you've got something the world desires. The world's out here trying to get it by whatever means they can, and they can't find it. You know who I thought about? I thought about old Ahab and Jezebel. You talk about a couple of no good bullies. They were bullies. They didn't care who they stepped on to get what they wanted. But yet they found themselves, you know where they found themselves? They found themselves miserable their entire life. Why? Because they're out here struggling to try to get everything they can, thinking that next thing is going to make me happy. That next piece of property or that vineyard I can steal from Naboth and accuse him of blaspheming God. If I can get a hold of that, well, I think that one thing right there might make me happy. But when they come to the end of the day, they sit down and they're just as miserable as when they got up. Why? Because they're not where they need to be with God. Some people are just bullies because they're not spiritually where they need to be. And they're thinking, well, if I'm in misery, then I'm going to make everybody around me miserable. A boss that is a bully is a terrible thing. Because you know probably why they're a bully, because they're miserable. And they think, if I'm miserable, I'm going to make everybody else around me miserable. So what do we do with a situation like this? Well, first off, we need to try to understand a little bit more about the situation. Maybe try to put ourselves in their shoes if we can. Try not to retaliate. Pray for them. Pray that they get what you got. But in all of this, just trust God. I know Scotty said it when he's talking about a teacher. It's easy to say that, and it's harder to do that. But listen, folks, the answer is always trust God in every situation. Especially if you're in a situation and you're the two-year-old Isaac standing against this 14-year-old kid. You know, you're the David and Goliath. If you're in that situation, you're going to be bullied. Matter of fact, I think David was bullied by Goliath, wasn't he? Then he come out and taunt him. Look at me, who I am. Look at this specimen of a man that I am. And you bring this little dog to come out here to me? Who are you and what are you doing? Send out somebody that's worthy for me to kill. I don't want to kill a little bitty kid. I want to kill a man. So he was bullying David. So we got to take the approach that David took against Goliath. We've got to be steadfast in what we know about God. We can't let the fact that we're going to have folks try to be superior to us or bully us affect our relationship with God. We've got to be steadfast in that walk with Him. We've got to know and be assured that salvation is the greatest thing ever and build my life upon that salvation, knowing this world is going to be filled with tribulation. Didn't Jesus say that? This world's going to be filled with bullies. It's going to be filled with challenges in life. You may get knocked down a few times by a few of them. But it's what you do after you get knocked down that matters, isn't it? Get back up. I remember being intimidated at times in my life, especially when I was young, intimidated by people or intimidated by things. And we can let that intimidation and we can let that develop into a fear that will cause us to clam up and be afraid to do anything. But if we get back up and keep our faith and our trust in God, that's where our strength comes from. It's not going to come from us. Just because you beat up a bully don't make you right. Us trusting in God is what makes us right with God. And trust God to take care of the bully. That's where we need to get. Next thought I want to look at in verse numbers 10 and 11 is the reaping. We first looked at the sin in the bullying and what it is that started this process and this division. So now I want to look at the reaping and what comes after that. Verse 10 of Genesis 21 says, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." Now I wanted to think about that word grievous for just a minute. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They sinned. They sinned. They didn't trust God to provide an heir the way God told them he was going to provide an heir. Abraham and Sarah sat down after God had said, "Abraham, you and your wife Sarah are going to have a child." He even said, "You're going to name him Isaac." God laid it out plain and simple. And so they got to the point to where they're saying, "Well, here, I'm 100 and she's 90. I'm not really sure this is going to happen." So Sarah even offered, "Take this handmaid of mine, take Hagar and have a child with her, and it'd be the same as if it's my child, and God will bring the blessing through that child, and everything will be good," because Sarah had believed, she'd believed the lie over the truth that I'm not able to have children. It's just not going to happen. Maybe God was wrong when he said Abraham and Sarah. Maybe he meant just Abraham and somebody in Sarah's tent, maybe one of those girls. So however they wanted to read into it, the bottom line is this: it was sin is what it was. They committed sin in not trusting God. So when they had the child Ishmael, and that developed into the next problem and the next problem, when we sin, what we need to understand is there are consequences to the sins we commit. Can there still be forgiveness for the sins we commit? Absolutely. But we always need to remember there are consequences to the sins we commit. Just because God may forgive us of our sin, it doesn't always mean that he's going to take away the consequences of those sins. You know, we've said it numerous times, if you jump off of a cliff and you ask God to forgive you halfway down and say, "God, forgive me for jumping off a cliff. I shouldn't have done that." He says, "I forgive you." You're still going to hit the ground. So the consequences of the choices we make are still there, even though we can receive forgiveness from God. So we see this trickle-down effect because they chose to have this child by Hagar. We see the division there, and that's what I believe spurred this mockery and this persecution on his side against Isaac. So now we're seeing the reaping. Now we're seeing the problems. In sin, nobody wins. Nobody that's involved with the situation wins. Nobody wins. Abraham, it says he was grievous. He was brokenhearted. He should have stepped up and said, "But Sarah, God said it's me and you. He never said me and Hagar. Her name wasn't mentioned. We need to honor God in that," because they all agreed to disobey God. They all suffered and reaped the consequences of the sins that they had committed. So that's what led to the mocking. That's what led to the persecution. That's what led to this statement that Sarah had to come to Abraham and say, "Abraham, that woman and her child can't stay in our camp. They got to go, because the seed of Isaac is how the blessing's going to come." I can't even imagine being in the shoes of Abraham. How he must have felt. The Bible says he grieved, but it doesn't say everything about how he felt, because even though he knew that he sinned, he still knew that Ishmael was his son. That's his blood child. And his wife Sarah is telling him that he's going to have to send her away. You know what it reminds me of? That with sin, there is a cost. There's always a cost to sin. They sinned. This was the cost. And I know when we start thinking about where is God in all of this, what opinion did God take on this situation of telling Abraham to listen to his wife, Sarah, and send them away? I believe that God is not okay with the fact that he took Hagar and had a child with her. Even though God knew that was going to happen, that's still sin. That need to be something that Abraham worked out with God. But I believe that God was saying to Abraham, I'm not saying what you did was okay, but I'm saying that I'm still going to take care of Hagar and I'm still going to take care of Ishmael, that you don't need to worry about them. You need to go ahead and honor what your wife's saying. I'm not okay with what you did, but you need to listen to her, because yes, the seed of Isaac is how I'm going to bring this blessing, how the Messiah is going to come, how the Christ is going to come, how that bloodline is going to remain intact. This is the way that I'm going to accomplish this. So God's not okay with sin, but know this. Even in the midst of our sin, we go to God, he will hear us. And when we confess our faults and our sins, God is so quick to forgive us. It's kind of like our children, or even you when you were a child. We disobey our parents, and we knew that there were consequences then, right? Sometimes consequences are not very good. Sometimes consequences hurt all over. Sometimes consequences hurt when we disobey parents. You know, they always say it hurts me more than it hurts you. I don't know that I ever believed that. Until I became a daddy and had to do it myself. And I understand. It does hurt. Why? Because we don't want to see our children do wrong. We want them to always do right. And it hurts us. So God's the same way. Did it hurt God for Abraham and Sarah to do what they did, for her to make such a suggestion? Well, obviously it did. It broke God's heart. And so God did the best that he could in that situation. And he told Abraham, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to honor this request of your wife, because this is where the seed's coming. But know this, know that I love Hagar and Ishmael as much as I love you and Sarah and Isaac, and I will take care of them. I think he gave Abraham that assurance to ease the mind and heart of Abraham, because I'm sure Abraham prayed, because he was grieved over it. I'm sure he prayed much over it. God, I don't want to send him away. I don't want to send him out there just to die in the wilderness. But God, what do I do? And God said, this is what you do. Here's a peace I'm going to give you. You did wrong, but I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to take care of them if you just trust and believe in me. Now, the next thought I want to look at is verse number 12 of Genesis 21. The protection that God has for those that believe and trust in him and follow him. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because the bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here's the beauty of God, is that God always sees his word through. He always does. God said, Abraham, you know what? This child, which I believe Isaac was probably around maybe 2 years old or so at the time of the persecuting and the bullying, and a little two-year-old kid doesn't know that much. I don't know. My 1.5-year-old knows a whole lot, you know, but they've got a lot to learn. And so the protection that God placed on the life of that little child, that little Isaac, that was so fragile, and it made me remember how God protects the innocent. God protects and provides for those that are trusting and following him and believing in him. How that Joash spent 7 years, we did a study on him, remember? And he spent 7 years in the house of God under protection of the high priest at that time. How that God will do the same thing in our lives as we continue to follow him and to trust in him. That God has that protection for us in our lives. If we follow him, in the world, we are going to have tribulation, but according to the scriptures, what did it say? You're going to have tribulation, but I've overcome that world. That world has been conquered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if we trust in Him, we have our hope. We have our help in every, not in most situations, but in every situation. So little Isaac is innocent. He didn't have a clue what was going on. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know what was transpiring. Even in our young Christian life, when we don't really have a clue, you know, we're on that milk, spiritual milk, and we're just going out and bebopping around and we're just doing whatever. God blesses that ignorance in our life, and God will provide for us, and God will take care of us, and God will meet our needs just like He feeds the birds. You know, we get in the world and we start struggling. God wants us to be reminded that He's that steady rock and that fortress that we need. I'm reminded of an event when Scotty mentioned about the bird, and this popped in my head, and I thought, well, God, if you want us to share that, we will. I think years ago, I remember sharing this as an illustration one time. In the house we used to live in, the garage doors go up, and then the ceiling was real high in the garage, so there was probably, you know, 4 or 5 feet of height there. So when a bird or something comes into the garage, it can't just go directly out. It has to go down to go out to get out of the garage. And, you know, birds sometimes get in there, get confused. And I remember one time there was a hummingbird. You know, I love to watch those hummingbirds buzz around. He came in and he was flying around. He was smacking that big long beak into the wall above the garage door. He could probably smell and sense and see the light from outside, but he just couldn't figure a way to get there. And I thought, man, he's been at this a pretty good while. He's struggling. And I could tell he was starting to panic a little bit. And I had a broom that had a kind of a frayed end to it. You know, you've used it a long time. So I really used that broom. So it was about wore out and flat. So I thought, well, if I can get that thing up here and just if he could just land on it for a second to catch his breath. And I followed him around and I would get it right under him and he would look down and he would kind of think to light on it for a minute. He would get back and run his beak back into the wall again. And I probably spent, you know, 5-10 minutes waiting on this guy. And eventually, when he reached the moment of exhaustion, he fell on the broom. And I took him, and I took him outside. And as soon as he saw the sun and the sky, he was re-energized and he took flight. And that little event, it always stuck with me. I think our problem is we struggle so much in this world to provide and to meet our needs that we get to the point of we're spiritually exhausted. And God's saying, if you had just landed on the broom a long time ago, you would have been fine and you wouldn't be spiritually exhausted. We call it burnout. Have you ever been burnt out? Yeah. You know why we get burnt out? Well, sometimes because we take on more than we should. Because we're not trusting in God. I'm not saying the Christian life should be carefree, but I'm saying the true Christian that's living for God, striving daily, is going to be at peace and at rest and will not be stressed out by the things of this world. He's holding the broom underneath us right now. And he's saying, yeah, you're just hitting the wall. You're hitting the wall. Sit on the broom and rest and let me carry you. And I'll re-energize you and give you what you need. That's what God's all about, is providing for us, meeting our needs. Now I want to look at the last thought, verses 17 through 19. Brainstorm here as I was studying this week. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. Now imagine this, you know, you've got the kid over here and you've got Hagar here, and she's saying, I don't want to see him die, so I'm going away so I don't have to watch my kid die. And it said, God called to her out of heaven. And he said, what aileth thee, Hagar? You know, here we are in the midst of, basically we're about to die. What's going on, Hagar? What's happening? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad to drink. I looked at this, and I'm a little bit slow at grabbing a hold of stuff in the Bible at times. It takes me a little while to get to where I get it, and maybe you've already got this. But it dawned on me, you got to remember that we're not talking about a 2-3-year-old or an infant child here. This is a 14-year-old teenage kid, okay? And it's like the story of the widow when Elijah went up to the widow and her son, she said, well, we're just going to eat this last morsel of bread and then we're going to die because we don't have anything left. So eventually we're just going to eat it, fill our bellies with what we have, and we're eventually going to die. And I envision this is kind of what it's like. But remember, this is a 14-year-old kid. So she put him under some bushes to keep him in the shade, and she went away about a bow shot away to where she could at least see him but not watch him. She didn't want to watch him die. Then God spoke out of heaven, and I thought it's so interesting that it's labeled in here twice. God said, I heard, and it said God heard the voice of the lad. Then in another instance, when he's talking to Hagar, he says, God said, I heard the voice of the lad. And that dawned on me, the kid cried out for God to save him. He wasn't just crying as a kid, as a baby, because things weren't going his way. Because I don't know if God would have responded the same way. When you cry out to God to save you, He'll save you. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'd never realized that what was happening here is not just was Ishmael sad at the situation he was in and feeling that perhaps he was going to physically die, but I believe he cried out spiritually to God because God heard him. He said, I heard that voice of the lad. He cried out to me. I don't think he just cried out and said, God, I want a drink of water. Have Scotty to go to the fountain and bring me some water. I think he said, God, save me. And I believe God heard the prayer of Ishmael, and I believe God saved him. Because right after that, God said to Hagar, I am going to make of him a great nation. God had already said that, but God encouraged Hagar to say, because he cried out for me to save him, I'm going to fill him up with that water to get him to where he's strengthened, and I'm going to make something great out of him. Don't you worry, Hagar. The kid is saved, and the kid is all right. Now, I can't prove that he got saved that day, but that's what I believe until somebody proves otherwise. That's the prayers God's going to hear. He's going to hear those prayers when we cry out in need of salvation. The jailer went in and said, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? We just got to believe on Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and your whole house will be saved. We just got to believe. We got to believe in Jesus. So even though he was a bully, persecuted, have you been ungodly in your life at times? Yeah, I think we all have. Even though he had been a bully and persecuted little Isaac. And he probably had a lot of regrets in his life. But as a 14-year-old kid, he looked up to heaven, I believe, and he cried out and asked God to forgive him for the person he had been. And I believe he asked God to save him. And I believe that's why God saved him. So here, regardless of who you are and what you've done and where you've been, maybe you've been a bully. Maybe you've persecuted. Maybe you've not been the person you need to be. And maybe you're sitting here in our congregation today or listening by other means and you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't know what it means to be set free from the bondage of sin. You still struggle with this life. You wonder what's going to happen when I leave this place. When I die, where am I going to go? That's a pretty straightforward question. Where are you going to go when you die? When you leave here, you're going to go somewhere. Do you know where you're going to go? I don't want you to ask Christ to save you just for a insurance from hell. He saves those that believe in him as Lord and Savior. He saves those that believe that his blood paid your sin debt. That's who he saves. He saves those that believe and trust in him. By grace are we saved through Faith. Faith is believing in Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, that'd be a great day for you to get saved. If you are saved, but yet you find yourself falling into that trap and that old way of life, this would be a great day for you to change that. You know where it all starts? It all starts with us getting on our knees and crying out like Ishmael did, God, save me. You know what God will do? He'll hear. He'll hear you. He'll hear you right where you're at. Whatever you're doing, you stop, you pause, and you pray, and God will hear you. Stand with me as we pray together. Our Father, we come to you today. And God, we are all guilty of sin. We're all guilty of unrighteousness and disobedience, God. And today I ask your forgiveness of my sins, the many times I've disappointed you. I'm saved by your precious blood, but yet, God, I've been far, far from perfect. And God, I ask you today to cleanse me and to heal me and restore me that I can be the man you've called me to be. God, I pray your Holy Spirit moves among us today. Bring us all to our knees before you in a right relationship with you. And today, God, we can begin that new walk and that new journey with you. We love you, God, and thank you for the story of Isaac. Thank you for your provisions and your protection. Thank you for that forgiveness, God. Thank you so much for that forgiveness. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcvc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.